anybody can talk about wine. But what you're about to experience is a grape encounter.
If you could be beamed to this magical destination, you would swear that you were in medieval Europe. This breathtaking castle is like no place you've ever been before. But it's not in the old country. It's in America, and it's home to an exceptional winery. Best of all, I'm taking you there right now.
Grape Encounters Radio is brought to you by EpicStyle.com, featuring the world's most incredible selection of accessories and innovations for wine lovers.
And now, it's time to experience wine in a totally different way with your host, David Wilson.
Oh my gosh, kids, we are going to have so much fun in this episode of Grape Encounters Radio because we are in the Napa Valley and we are at the Castle of Love. Actually, it's Castello di Amarosa. And I'm standing with Jim Sullivan, who's the Vice President of Public Relations and Marketing for the castle, which looks like it's about 3,000 years old. But in reality, Jim, it's how old?
Well, we opened the doors in 2007, so we're very young, actually.
I guess the first question is, why? And then the second question is, how?
Dario Satui's original vision of this property was a small Tuscan village-style winery on this property. It's about 175 acres. If you asked him today, if he stopped by today, he would say, I got a little carried away on this project. And so he did. So this is 121,000 square feet.
121,000 square feet, and how many rooms?
Oh, there's 107 rooms, most of which are for winemaking or wine storage. There is an apartment for the royals, which is bedroom style, but it is not a bed.
But
we have our royal food
and
wine
pairing
there. We're going to go see that, sure.
Right. So we're not going to probably be able to see all 105 rooms
today.
Oh,
no, I don't think so.
Okay,
we're
going
to give it a shot, though.
First 10-hour Grape Encounter show. Now, listen, gang, you will not believe what I'm looking at here. And I have to think that most people, especially our listeners outside of the state of California, have no idea that a place like this even exists in the United States because you are absolutely standing in Europe right now. You would have no way of knowing that you were in the States. And one of the things that I read about this property, Mr. Satui's determination to make it look not fake. In other words, everything is always simulated here in America. When we try to create something that's supposed to look old, it looks like something that was created to look old but isn't.
This was the challenge, and he's really happy with the results that he achieved. You know, it does look old because some of the parts of it are old. Doors are made to look old, hand-hewn, hand-planed Italian oak, with all the metals all hand-forged over the open flame by a blacksmith in Umbria. The brick that you're going to see all throughout the castle, all the brick is from the Habsburg dynasty. It's all over a couple hundred years old, and it's combined with local stone. And all of the stone is all cut and chiseled by hand. Done by hand, yes.
So there's nothing that's been built using modern tools and modern techniques, or am I pushing it now?
You're pushing a little bit.
You're pushing. You could have said, yeah.
I mean,
but all right. Why would he build a place like this? Was it just his own personal passion? Was it because he wanted to create yet another great attraction in the Napa-Sonoma region?
Like I said, he got carried away on this project, and he loves the Italian and medieval architecture.
Well, there's carried away, and then there's this, okay?
This is really carried away.
This is like Hearst Castle. Carried away. This is Xanadu, except with a medieval theme, right?
Yeah, that's right. And he wanted to bring a little slice of Italy back. He absolutely fell in love with medieval architecture in the 60s and 70s on his frequent trips back to Italy, to his homeland, and just absolutely fell in love with it. And so what you're seeing here is his visions over a 30-year period.
30 years.
30 years of research to
Okay, so he does 30 years of research, but actual construction time?
About 15 years. 14, 15
Which
years.
Really isn't bad for a structure like this.
Right.
When did it really come to life? Was there a period of dormancy for a while, or was it a constant process of building this? And was there ever a point some years ago where part of it was functional?
It was pretty constant construction process over the years. The last 5 years, I will tell you, he did ramp up construction to finish it off. The last 5 years is really when we built the upper portion of the structure. Remember, that's 121,000 square feet with most of it below ground, almost about 80,000 square feet below ground.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so we haven't even been
And
there
that was
yet.
Not that was not dug with shovels.
That was not dug with shovels.
there's where we use a little modern technology. What this strikes me as is sort of a wine theme park in a certain sort of way, because you can come here and you can make a day of it here, can't you?
It's all about the experience. And that's what we try to provide as an interesting backdrop for people to enjoy some great wine in Napa Valley. If you imagine our tours, you know, to our tour, the tour underground ends up in a private tasting bar underground that's got medieval paintings.
We'll be going there, won't we?
Yeah, we'll be going there.
You know, I haven't had a drop of wine since I've got here, by the way. I have to mention that. How many people come through the property per week, per month, per year? Any idea?
I don't have an idea right off the top of my head.
It's in the hundreds of thousands.
It's a lot, yeah. We're one of the most popular wineries in Napa Valley, I'm sure. And so there's a lot of people that
come here. Now, ironically, Mr. Satui's original is one of the other most popular destinations. Why is that?
That's correct. Well, they've been around since the 70s, and they have a great offering there. They make some really nice wines.
Yeah,
they have the cheese deli and the picnics and the weddings, and Visatui is a great property down there in St. Helena.
So tell me where we're standing right now. We're in the middle of a courtyard. Would this be the main courtyard, or are there more like this?
We're in the sunken courtyard right off
the
of the
sunken
main.
Courtyard. Sunken, okay.
The lower courtyard right off of the main courtyard. There is another courtyard we call the sunken courtyard. This is the gathering center for the castle. All of our functions are held right here in this particular courtyard. I mean, this just seems to be the center of life when we have
How big a function can you have?
Oh, we've had, we just had Festival del Soleil here, a music festival. We had seating for 400 people right here in the courtyard.
Now, are there pigeons? Because the only thing that seems different about this courtyard than, say, standing in the middle of St. Mark's Square in Venice is I don't see any pigeons.
There
are no pigeons.
No pigeons here.
And you don't want them, do you?
No, not really. We have swallows, and they're good for the vineyards because they eat a lot of bugs in the vineyards, and they're beautiful. But pigeons, no. We don't.
Pigeons come with baggage. Pigeons come with baggage.
Right.
They leave the baggage.
We don't have pigeon-lined roofs, no.
I know. But it would add that last little bit of authenticity. So what was done to ensure the authenticity of this property? Because I've spent a lot of time in Europe. I can't tell the difference. I mean, seriously, it looks like every detail was meticulously thought out.
Well,
and I'm not stroking you, by the way. That's a fact.
Well, that's a compliment to Dara Satui, who spent the years in Europe painstakingly. And I wouldn't call it painstakingly, but he did go through all the properties over there. He took photographs and sketches and drawings. He'd take a doorway that he liked, and he'd actually measure it and put it on paper and bring it back. And then he would design that and put that into the building. So really what you see here and what you're going to see throughout the property are all of his visions over a 30-year period. And he had so much information. Dave, I got to tell you, I've seen it. He's got boxes of drawings and sketches and photographs. And he actually put it all together.
And so the amazing thing about it is it's not like when you build a project today, you have an architect come in and you say, okay, we're going to build a castle and we want 150 rooms or whatever it is, and this is how many square feet it's going to be, design it, and we'll build it. In some ways, pieced together, wasn't it?
It very much was. It started with the
cellars. I didn't want to say that. Did you see me hesitate?
Right, yeah, no.
I'm like, how am I going to say this? But it is. It's pieced together. It's like that Johnny Cash song where you build a car one piece at a time.
That's right, yeah.
But it works. But that's how it would have been done in medieval times too.
Exactly. And that's what we when you talk about authenticity, and one of the things that he wanted to show is how a castle would evolve over time. And you don't have one construction style. I mean, castles evolved over many hundreds of years, and that's what we have here. We have architectural styles from the 8th to the 14th century. Right here in this courtyard.
That's got to be a planning commission nightmare, though, that to keep going back with this little sketch and going, well, you know what? We want to add a dungeon, right? And a torture chamber.
Yes, that's right. We have those. Yes,
I've heard that. And is it hard to get a permit for a torture chamber these days?
Yes, it is.
Well, this is Northern California, it's
virtually impossible.
A little different than other parts of the country. We're talking to Jim Sullivan. He's the Vice President of Public Relations and Marketing at Castello di Amorosa. That's the Castle of Love. I'm using my sexy voice there.
That's great.
We're going to move on now. But first, tell me where we're standing. I know we're standing in the courtyard.
We're in the courtyard, basically.
Okay,
yeah,
but off to the side, we have a couple of large rooms. What are
well,
we looking
we have
here?
Our chapel here.
A real chapel.
Here. It's a real chapel. Yeah, it's got an altar and the whole the votives. You could light a candle for your loved ones. We have our fermentation video over
here. Do you
have
a priest?
We do not have a priest, no.
Oh, so you don't have a nun?
No nuns either.
Because
no.
if you did, it would be the nun of your business, right?
That'd be great. Yeah, well, right.
Never mind that.
Yeah,
okay.
No nuns, no pigeons.
So we have a chapel, but a priest could come in here and use it for the day. And we're not sure about that either.
We can't do that because of a permit issue as well.
Okay. So, we've got the chapel.
And we have the fermentation. We have a fermentation video here.
Okay.
So people can come in and watch how harvest was done last
year.
Now,
I've heard
year.
That's a rotten video.
It's just great video.
There's a joke there, and I guess that.
Okay. Well, we do have some wines.
I didn't mean that it was a bad video. I meant that it was about rotting fruit.
It's a noble rotten.
Okay. All right. All right. So we have our fermentation
For our
video
friends
here.
Out there.
And then what?
We have our olive oil station, Fattoria.
Are you guys making olive oil?
We make olive oil from his property in Italy. We also make grapeseed oil from the seeds of the grapes, so
why
it's
not,
close to sustainability.
Why not olive oil from olive trees here?
They're not quite ready yet.
So you have them?
We have the olive trees out in front, and they're producing olives. We're going to give them a couple more years before we really start making.
Because olives grow terrific here, don't they?
They do. They really do.
A lot of different varietals?
Yes.
Yeah. I was actually walking down the street in Calistoga and noticed some just beautiful fruit. I was going to pick it. Anyway, I don't have that centrifuge thing that you need, though, however. All right, so where are you going to take us next?
We're going to go to the Great Hall.
Talking to Jim Sullivan, Vice President, Public Relations and Marketing at Castella di Amorosa. This is technically city-wise where?
We're in Calistoga.
This is still considered to be Calistoga.
Yes, we are. We're 2 miles south of the city of Calistoga.
And you're real close to Santa Elena as well.
We're about 5.5 miles north of Santa Elena on Highway 29.
Okay, and this, for those of you listening out of state, not familiar with Napa, we are in the Napa Valley, and everybody knows where the Napa Valley is, just most of you haven't been here yet. But you will when you see photographs that I post online of this particular property. And we'll be back with more Grape Encounters Radio from Castello di Amorosa with Jim Sullivan in just a moment.
There's a purely magical connection between wine and music that is simply undeniable, and no one captures that magic better than former Bad Company bass player Paul Cullen. Paul's private label, California Made Wines, are the perfect companion to his cool and imaginative acoustic jazz, or your favorite wine drinking music. I love Paul's wines and equally enjoy seeing others discover them. Sonata Rosso is a lush fusion of Syrah, Zinfandel, and Cab Franc. Sonata Bianco is a crisp, bright Sauvignon Blanc with a splash of Chardonnay. Sonata Rosé is a blush showstopper. Nicely priced and accessible online at paulcullen.com, you really can't miss with these imaginative wines and Paul's infectious jazz. Uncorked and unplugged. Experience the music and discover Paul Cullen's exceptional wines at paulcullen.net. When it comes to the connection between wine, music, and even food, no one captures the magic better than Paul Cullen at paulcullen.com.
And we're lucky to have on the line Keith Sarlos from Sarlos and Sons. And Keith, I just wanted to get you here and have you tell us a little bit about what's new at Sarlos and Sons wine-wise.
Well, what's new at Sarlos and Sons? Well, really soon we'll be sharing our Grenache, 100% Grenache, all grown by us. We're also going to be sharing our Honor and Prepare, which is 100% Petite Syrah.
Mm.
A very big, awesome wine. I love introducing people to it. It's kind of the uncut raw, it's the director's cut, if you will.
Excellent.
Of our wine. We're also going to be releasing our rosé for the hot summer months, the heartbeat, and getting ready to bottle quite a few different whites. I mean, it's a pretty exciting time around the winery.
So check it out at sarlosandsons.com. I guarantee you, if you go there often, you'll see a lot of changes, a lot of exciting new wines, and there's nothing that comes out of Sarlos and Sons that isn't absolutely fine. Hey, thanks, Keith, for being with us. And
thank you.
Watch out for our listeners and take good care of them.
We will. Always do.
I'm praying for rain in California so the grapes can grow and they can make more wine.
And Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson is back from Castella di Amorosa in Calistoga in the Napa Valley of California and being given a guided tour by Jim Sullivan, who's the Vice President of Public Relations and Marketing for the property. We're on our way to the Great Hall, right?
Yes, we are.
When I got here, you're laughing because when I got here, I had to first go into the men's room. It's the first time I've been in a men's room that I didn't really want to leave too quickly because it's just that good. Can we just poke in there for a second? This will be the first time that two guys have walked into a men's room.
I'm the tour guide.
All right, you're the tour guide, so we're going to try to get in here. Now, we're not going to actually go into the stalls or anything. And no, there's no... Look, at everybody's looking at us going, wait a second, do these guys have cameras? But this is maybe one of the most beautiful restrooms I've ever seen. I particularly love the sink and the faucets in here.
Well, the sink is all made of travertine. The faucets are dragons, basically, spitting dragons. So they spit water. This restroom, our restrooms were nominated
Okay.
Yeah, we're here.
We're not too popular in here, that's okay. For sure.
They were nominated as the best restroom in California by Cintas Corporation. So we were
get out of here.
We were in a national competition.
I'm feeling a little flush in here.
No, it's okay. We're good. We were in a national competition with Cintas, and uh-huh. This is one of the top restrooms in California.
I think we've had enough of the restroom. All right, so we're headed over to the Great Hall, but I got to tell you, that is one humdinger restroom. And because this is a castle, there are people that will actually dry your hands for you in there, won't there? No, I guess not.
And the music is kind of nice to listen to.
The music's nice, but they did not have those hand dryers in medieval times.
No, it is not.
You actually wiped your hands on somebody of a lesser class's back.
Well, we're protective of the environment here, so
okay,
that's
all right. Great Hall it is. Here we go.
Great Hall it is. So next is the Great Hall, the room for the royals.
The hall is right across the hall from the loo.
It's basically next to the
courtyard. Do we call it a loo in a castle, or or do we call it something else in lieu of loo?
Dave, we're moving on.
All right, okay.
Wow, look at this.
Oh, I'm shouting. Yeah. We're talking Mural City here.
So this is actually Italian-style frescoes painted by Fabio Sanzoni. There's a wall over here on my left, which is called an allegory. Starts here. It's a wall that depicts love and sex and betrayal and murder. And at the end, the king rides off with everything. There's a little dog on the fireplace, and I affectionately named him Scruffy when I got here 8 years ago.
Right, show me the dog. Oh, yeah. He's sitting up
doggy.
There on the top of the fireplace. Okay,
well,
got it.
I named him Scruffy, and he's on this wall 4 times. And so I had an opportunity to meet Fabio about a year and a half ago. I said, so what's that little dog named Scruffy? What's the significance, and why is he on that wall? And he says, famous artists like Michelangelo, and he names off all these Italian famous artists. He says, they have a tendency to paint their likeness into their paintings. I was in love with this beautiful woman, and I could never be with her because she either had a boyfriend or she was married. And so Fabio said, at the end of the day, I was just a dog to her. And so in this allegory, you see the little dog sitting in the fireplace. Well, of course, he's waiting for the girl he was in love with because she's with somebody else in this section here.
She's with somebody else that's the same sex.
Yeah, he's got long hair. So, you know, they didn't have barbers back then, so he had a little bit longer hair.
And how long would it take to paint a room like this?
This was 2 years of painting.
Unbelievable. Okay, where are we going to next?
Truncated Tower.
All right, so we've climbed a couple of steps, we've left the Great Hall, and now I love this spot here. I don't know what it's for.
This is our upper terrace, so we have the tasting bar over here, tables and chairs. The beauty of this right here is this is where you see all the architecture coming together. Like I said, we represent the 8th to the 14th century. This tower here, we call the South Tower in front of me, it's built using the rubble look or the rubble look. You can see how different rocks and stones and the like were used to build the tower. The slot in there for the arrow guys, you know.
Looks thousands of years old. You'd never in a million years know that this was built in this century, let alone in the past decade or so.
It's amazing.
Is this a feng shui sort of a thing, too?
It's a feng shui, absolutely. This has been feng shui'd to the T.
It has.
Yes, it has.
I was making a joke there, but I don't...
Well, so was I.
All right, so we are now winding up some staircase, and it's very dark up here, and actually a little bit scary. Where am I right now?
We're heading to the South Tower.
This is proof that people were shorter in those days, right?
That's correct.
The ceilings are starting to get a lot lower, and it's a lot... Oh, now, what is this?
This is behind the scenes of the drawbridge.
No!
So if you had
real,
a drawbridge...
Does this work?
Like, do you have a drawbridge at your house?
I just draw at my house. That's about it.
If you had a drawbridge, you'd have these chains that would go down to the end of the drawbridge. You'd have this device here that has wheels on it, and you'd probably have 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 guys up here doing nothing but turning this wheel to raise the drawbridge.
Does this work?
It does not.
But is there a bridge down there?
There is a drawbridge down there. Sure, there is.
It's always down.
Yes, it's always down. And here's the gate here to hold the marauders back from coming into the castle.
What about alligators? Are there alligators in the moat?
There are not. No, there are mosquito fish to kill to get the mosquitoes. But, we got rid of the alligators.
All right. So we're in the South Tower.
We're in the South Tower. Yes, we're in the South Tower.
Okay. And do maidens with long hair ever drop their hair out these little small windows? And plea for help on a daily basis.
Almost daily.
I'll bet you actually get tourists that do that, don't they?
We do. Yes, we do.
That's sort of a normal thing to do.
Usually.
But these little slots are actually for shooting arrows.
That's correct.
At people, right?
We have arrow slots all over the place. So look out.
Now, if somebody gets a little out of control in the tasting room down there, do you shoot arrows at them from here?
Well, certainly not. We wouldn't shoot our guests with arrows, no.
Well, you could do those, instead of arrows, there could be a cork on the end.
A cork.
Yeah, that's it.
Bonk.
Yeah, bonk them. All right. You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson. We're coming to you from Castello di Amorosa. That means the castle of love. I'm here with Jim Sullivan. He is the marketing guru here. Yeah. You don't need to be a marketing guru to do this job because this property sells itself. Yeah. I didn't mean to take anything away from you, Jim, but
there's
still some guruism around here. You're
though.
A lucky guy to have
very
this
lucky
gig.
Guy. Yeah. This is great. And it doesn't hurt that I'm a photographer as well. So I love sharing great images of the property, and this is just a fun place to be.
Is this your dream job?
Oh, it's a dream.
The only thing that could be better would be co-hosting the show from here. We could put in a little broadcast booth from here. Don't you think that'd be really good?
Tired of being caught unprepared? Want to be a good scout? That's what we thought. With Napkin by JNC Enterprises, you can be Johnny on the spot and be prepared for unexpected messes. The Napkin is one very clever product. These little beauties are barely the size of a small breath mint, but they come to life as a durable, convenient, and sturdy hand towel with just a few drops of water. You'll want to keep a supply of napkins everywhere you would keep a hand towel, paper towel, wash rag, or moist towelette. Napkin is all of these things in one very compact little tablet. Use it to wipe greasy hands, remove makeup, and even to entertain dinner guests. You never know when Napkin will come in handy. Get Napkin at NapkinJNC.com. It's completely eco-friendly and made of 100% recycled paper. Clean your environment and keep the environment clean with Napkin from NapkinJNC.com.
One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out GrapeEncounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not going to hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's GrapeEncounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. GrapeEncounters.com. Grape Encounters Radio continues with David Wilson and my very special guest, Jim Sullivan, who's the VP of Marketing at Castello di Amorosa. And you might hear a little echo now because we are now in the bowels of the castle here in the Napa Valley.
Every good winemaker loves Mother Earth because Mother Earth provides a great level of humidity in the wine caves. And that's where we are now, is we're in the wine caves, 58 or 59 degrees all year long. Doesn't matter what the temperature is outside. We get 60 to 70% humidity, which is perfect for aging and storing our red wines in the barrel and here in the caves.
And then how much wine are we talking about down here? You've got, it's not just barrels. You've got shiners I saw around the corner.
We have some shiners from our very first vintage in 2000 that we harvested and bottled.
And in this room across the hall here is your large format bottles.
We had 94 points from Parker for our 2007 Il Baroni. So we decided to make some large format bottles and we just never stopped. And so this is our 2007 vintage. And 2008, 2009 is being was bottled, and we're just getting ready to put some more large format bottles in here.
And I notice the door's locked.
The door's locked, yes.
Do you have a key to that door?
I have the combination to that.
You
do? Yes, I do.
And it would be what?
Yeah, right. I love wine.
I could spend a little time in there. It's important to note, you guys are making mostly Italian varietals, or all Italian varietals?
No, mostly Italian
varietals.
Mostly,
okay.
We focus on a super Tuscan blend, which is Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Sangiovese. We have a consulting winemaker from Italy. His name is Sebastiano Rosa.
Where are we off to next?
We're going to the armory.
So now we're walking down this very long hallway, and the hallway is lined with little rooms on either side, metal gates in front of them, and locks. I guess combination locks. You know the combination, too.
Yes, I do. Yeah,
okay.
Of course I do.
And each one is different. It has different wines in it. What's going on here?
Well, we have library rooms. We call them library rooms. And every year, we're going to hold back a little portion of our vintage, and we're going to lay them down in the library rooms. We have Cabernet Sauvignon here in front of
Chardonnay. We have our Il Baroni, our Reserve Cabernet, and La Castellana, which I spoke of, our super Tuscan blend.
Wines will remain in the library for how long?
Our very first Reserve vintage was 2003. We have probably 10 cases left of that, so that's in here. We'll keep them as long as we possibly can.
This reminds me a lot of a winery in Tuscany called Monsanto. And it's a gigantic Italian winery, but they have this, you know, same sort of feature where as you walk down the hallway, they have these different library rooms. Was that common in Europe to do that? Because I had only seen it in one or two places.
Common to store wine wherever it was cool, whether it was a library room or a tucked away.
It's just the way that this
corner.
Is done. It's almost like, I mean, you could turn this into a jail really easily, right?
It has, it's been used in a jail. And
you'd have happy inmates, right?
Of course.
Until they were through going through everything in the library. All right.
We're off to the armory.
Okay, we've just entered a room where there are a lot of guys in suits of armor. Are there people in there or are these just the suits of armor?
Oh, there's people in there.
Okay. Look how steady they are. Anyway, this is the armory.
If we were under battle and in battle and we got attacked, you would come down to this room and you put on your appropriate suit of armor. And you'd head back out through the various tunnels and walls of the castle to go fight the enemy.
You know, it occurs to me that you guys are pretty well fixed because there are some people that believe that America as a nation is crumbling and that we could have anarchy at some point. You're all set up.
We're set up. We're ready to go.
You could even jail the perpetrators.
We could.
Yeah, it's great.
We'll put some of them in the library rooms.
I'm going to guess that this is authentic armor. Am I
right? Most of these are authentic pieces here, yeah. Dario spends some time in Europe. He has a monastery there that he started back in the 70s, and now he's fully renovated that. He goes back and forth to Europe, and he finds different artifacts and brings them back for the castle.
You say that so flippantly. He has a monastery that he started there, and and he brings back suits of armor. Okay. Have you tried any of these suits on?
No, I'm too big for these.
They had to be really little guys, huh?
They were really little guys, yeah.
And I guarantee you, it chafes.
Yeah, and you know what? They had no Gatorade back then. So, you know, how did they fight during the middle of summer when it was 108 degrees out with a suit of armor?
I would have liked to have actually seen them walking around in the suits of armor. It's David Wilson with Grape Encounters Radio. My guest is Jim Sullivan, and we are getting a private tour of Castello di Amorosa, which means... I tried to roll my R's there, but that didn't quite happen. Anyway, it means the Castle of Love, actually.
Yes, it does. Castello di Amorosa, Castle of Love.
Which seems strange that we're in an armory with a lot of weapons, but there is a thin line between love and hate, isn't there?
That's correct.
All right.
We actually have the oublier over here, or the open-top dungeon.
Well, oh my gosh! Yeah, I thought
we missed that.
I thought that was a place that you sat around and roasted weenies. That's not what.
That's
holy smoke!
15 feet down to the bottom.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're looking at here is this round brick. I don't even know how to describe it. It looks like a well.
It's called an oublier.
It's an oublier. You know, it's like you heard in the Beatles song "Oublier, Oubla Da," life goes on. But in this case, maybe it doesn't. And it's 15 feet deep, and they just, shove... I guess this is for employees who do not perform properly here.
Well, no, that's the torture chamber.
That's the torture chamber. Okay. All right, so we're off to the torture chamber, and I would try this out, but I'm thinking you wouldn't let me out after a couple of the comments that I've made today. So torture chamber it is here at Castello di Amorosa. And we're now in the torture chamber.
We are in the torture chamber.
Oh, my gosh. I started to walk right past it, and then I started to realize very quickly that the things that are in here are kind of mostly designed to impale you, right?
Pretty much.
You have a chair of nails.
It's the Inquisition chair.
Can I sit on that?
You can, for a very short period of time, and then your jeans start to have pinholes in them.
Wait a second.
Hold on. Here he goes.
Oh, I get your point.
Dave,
no.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not good.
So, Dave, if that's not enough, they would put fire under there and heat up those spikes.
That's serious? They really did that kind of thing?
Yes, they did. This room has nothing to do about wine, but castles that are being renovated in Europe, they're all putting torture chambers back in, and they're putting, if they have it, if they can find it, the authentic torture devices. In our case, we have a 300-year-old museum piece, which is the Iron Maiden over there, and that's a
let's go look at that.
Kind of a dangerous device.
And an Iron Maiden is, I think, you open up, and it looks like a woman.
Yes.
And with her arms kind of shut. And then there are...
Nails.
Oh,
Nine-inch nails.
There's nails. This is sealed up because you don't want anybody playing in this thing.
And we're into safety around here, so we make sure.
So, but literally, if I open these doors, I got inside there, and you shut the doors, it would impale me a zillion different ways.
Yes, it would.
I think that a torture chamber at a winery is appropriate, and here's why.
Okay. I'd like to hear this.
Because reminds us of the fact that there are way too many wines out there that are torture to drink.
Not here, though.
Not here. You got great wines here, but it does make the point, right?
It makes the point. Totally.
See, you ought to have those.
And wine should not be about torture.
No, it shouldn't. But you ought to have a display of all those bad wines down here to kind of, you know, just juxtapose those against all these implements of destruction.
Okay. We're going to the Grand Barrel Room.
Oh, that's the finale?
That's it, baby.
Oh, can't wait. I'm on my way. Now we're in a room that's a lot more my style. This is the Grand Barrel Room. Not just any barrel room, but the Grand Barrel Room.
This is the Grand Barrel Room.
There's red carpet. This is the most amazing thing is that you guys have rolled out the red carpet for me today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
What's the deal with
Thanks
that?
Thanks for being here, Dave.
Yeah, but seriously, you do. You have a red carpet rolled out.
Well, there's
here.
Red carpet, and at the end of the red carpet, we have some of our best wine for you.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
that's
man.
Right, just
well,
for you.
And we're going there.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, this is fantastic. So tell me what's going on here. I see a lot of new oak.
This is new oak. We're getting ready for harvest. Harvest is right around the corner, so we got some new French oak barrels in.
Use just French oak, or do you use American
French oak?
Just
French oak.
On everything.
Yep.
When are you going to, you guys do everything else, when are you going to grow your own oak trees and make your own barrels?
that's all that's left, really. That's all, everything else we do here.
So I'm looking at mostly empties here.
Behind it are all full.
And then harvest is going to be when? Well, it's starting now.
It's starting now. We're going to get our first grapes on property early, probably mid next week.
Really?
I think we're going to get some Pinot Noir in, yes.
And then how long will harvest go on, do you think?
Well, I think we're going to be in harvest all the way through probably the end of October this year.
Yeah.
It's. I'm telling you, it's looking fantastic. And so if you're in the Napa Valley this time of year, I encourage you to stop your car, get out, and go look at some of those grapes that are out there because the clusters are absolutely beautiful.
I was noticing that. And for the rest of the country, it's been agriculturally a very bad year. For this region, they're saying this might be one of the best ever. Is that overstating it?
I think that's not overstating it. I think this is going to be one of the better vintages out there. There's a lot of fruit, and the quality is exceptional. We've had some great 80-degree days, summer, you know, nice summer warm days. We haven't had any big heat spikes. We haven't had any rain. We haven't had anything that would cause anything to harm harvest, if you will. So right now, it's
it was the perfect
really good.
Storm.
Perfect storm. Right now, we're doing good. And yesterday, they were cleaning the crush pad and putting the equipment out, and you know all those things you do right before harvest. And man, I'm telling you, I get excited. This is the time. If you're going to go to wine country, any wine country across America, this is the time to go. Go during harvest because the sights and the sounds, the smells are just unbelievable. I think you can feel it. I'm getting a little emotional.
I know you're kind of getting teared up. Do you want to borrow my hanky here?
I get excited about harvest.
Don't drip on the microphone, would you? All right. All right. So as sad as I am to say it, my visit to Castello de Amorosa, the castle of love, I love saying that, is almost over, but not before we've sat down and poured a glass or two of their amazing wines. And I mean that, by the way, sincerely. You've not paid me to say that. Jim Sullivan, you have been an excellent tour guide. Anything you want to add?
Thank you, Dave. Pleasure to meet you. And it's been my pleasure to tour you around the castle and show you what we're all about. And actually, this is really what I was waiting for, to have you sit down with me and share a couple of our wines. I think it's been
great. Go further down the road, but the truth of the matter is I would spend the rest of the day here.
Yeah, we're in the reserve room. We're sitting in nice leather seating, surrounded by barrels of wine. And this is just the culmination of our experience. And it's just been fantastic, and I couldn't end any better. I'm still excited about harvest, I got to tell you. I'm still thinking about harvest. And
you
I
still
hope
got that little, got little that, welling up there a little bit,
I get excited about harvest, but I want you, as you head off the property, please make sure you stop and check out the grapes and look at what's going on right now.
I was
going to,
when
Valley.
I was coming in, I was going to pick a grape, and I thought, you know what, I'd get pelted by somebody shooting a bow and arrow with a cork on the end. The marksmen are up there.
They're up there. Yeah.
And they're wearing suits of armor, so you know it's not going to do any good for me to grab a bunch of grapes and throw them at them.
That would be fantastic. I'd love to have that on video.
So is it? it'd be like a scene out of Monty Python, but instead of throwing, what did they throw? Like chickens or something off?
Chickens and cows.
You would throw grapes at people instead.
Yes, there would be clusters of grapes coming at you from abroad.
Yeah, and you know what you would call those when somebody's angry and throws grapes?
What?
The grapes of wrath.
Grapes of wrath. Yes, you would. You would call them that. Yes, you would.
When people come in, they do grab the grapes, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And they always have that look on their face like they're getting away with something.
That's funny. Yes, they do.
And do you ever yell at them?
No, we do not. No.
Do they ever try to grab whole clusters?
You know, I got to tell you, that's part of the experience of being in wine country. You know, you want to be able to see the properties. You want to be able to touch the grapes, see the people, meet the winemakers, meet the people behind the scenes, actually go out in the vineyard and see what the soils are all about and look at the vines and actually touch the grapes and maybe pick one or two, not clusters.
Did you ever hear the story about the duck that waddled into the winery?
No, I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, he waddles into the winery and he says to the person at the wine bar, "Hey, bartender, got any grapes?" Person serving at the wine bar says, "No, we don't have any grapes, and we don't allow ducks in here. Get out." And so a little bit later, about an hour later, the duck waddles in again. Waddle, waddle, waddle. "Hey, do you got any grapes?" And the person behind the wine bar is getting very irritated at this point and says, "No, we don't have any grapes here, and we don't serve ducks here, so get out." Well, as you can guess, an hour later, the duck waddles back into the bar again. "Hey, do you have any grapes?" Now, the person serving behind the bar is getting very furious and says, "No, and if you come back in here again, I'm going to nail your feet to the floor." About an hour passes, the duck comes waddling back into the wine bar and says, "Hey, do you have any nails?" "No." "Do you have any grapes?" It's a good joke. I love this. Anyway, my thanks to Jim Sullivan. He's the Vice President of Public Relations and Marketing at Castello di Amorosa. And that is in Calistoga in the Napa Valley. And you can check it out at castellodiamorosa.com. Clever web address for Castello di Amorosa.
That is our web address.
The trick is you're going to have to know how to spell it.
You got to know how to spell it.
But I can tell you this, Google will correct it for you.
Yes, it will.
Because I got it wrong the first time.
And just I just got to say, I'm very proud of this. We just launched our new website. There's a virtual tour on there.
That's going to do it from Castello di Amorosa. Thanks again, Jim. I really appreciate it. It was a great tour, the VIP tour. Loved it, every minute of it. And we went screaming through it, and it took us a long time. So you just come down here and spend the whole day. This is Grape Encounters Radio. We will be back with the Gadget Guru.
Whether it's a birthday gift, anniversary gift, or a housewarming gift, a lot of people love to give wine, but are often torn about what wine to give. So I have an alternative suggestion. And on the line is Tom Silberkleit, who created that suggestion. Tom?
Hey, David, I wanted to let you know that people are calling me to ask if we would send them an autographed copy of one of our books, The California Directory of Fine Wineries.
That's totally cool, but an autographed copy takes a little bit of time. If somebody doesn't have the time to wait for that, what else can they do?
So I highly suggest Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or independent bookstores. That's the best way to get these books.
But if they want an autographed copy, how do they do that?
You know, I'll be happy to do it. They can contact me via my website, californiafinewineries.com, and we will personally autograph a copy to whoever the folks would like.
It's the greatest photographic tribute to California's finest wineries, the California Directory of Fine Wineries. The St. Mark's in the Valley Cellar Classic is an auction of rare and fine wines like no other, and it's going to take place on Saturday, July 28th from 4 to 7 p.m. in beautiful Los Olivos, California. Wine journalist and renowned travel writer Gabe Saglier has named the St. Mark's Cellar Classic one of the top 10 not-to-miss wine events and noted that previous events gave the fancy Napa auction a real run for its money. This is a very rare opportunity to own a 100-point 1947 Cheval Blanc, the one-of-a-kind 18-liter Santa Ynez Valley Rhone blend, a 1961 Latour, or even a 2009 etched magnum of the highly coveted Roussac Catalina Island Zinfandel. The St. Mark's Classic, Saturday, July 28th, will be an unforgettable summer evening in Los Olivos that you shouldn't miss. To make your reservations, click on the St. Mark's Cellar Classic link at grapeencounters.com or email steve@clopepe.com. That's steve@clospepe.com. And we are back with Grape Encounters Radio, and on the phone with us is a guy who didn't get to come to Castello di Amorosa, Matt Dubow. But you live in a castle, don't you, Matt?
I don't know what you consider a castle, but I wouldn't.
you wouldn't consider it a castle?
No.
Oh, my gosh. This place is so amazing. It's just, it looks like it's 1,000 years old. It's something about that atmosphere, you know? If the atmosphere is right, the wine just tastes better.
I agree. I definitely agree with you.
Yeah, this coming from a guy who will drink wine out of a red Solo cup.
There's nothing wrong with that. You do what you have to do sometimes.
I had this random thought the other day, and you know how it is that people who are obsessed with their pets will accessorize their pets in a million different ways. They buy all this stuff.
Right.
For the, and you can go into, you know, like one of the big pet stores and they'll have a million things for their pets. But I'm starting to think that wine drinkers are as obsessed with accessorizing as pet people are with their pets.
I agree.
But I think actually you even accessorize wine stuff with pet stuff, right? You've combined those.
We have. And actually, people really gravitated to our collections of dog and cat pieces for wine.
Why?
Because most people have pets, so it just kind of goes hand in hand.
You know what you should really do is you should have a line of products that are for pets that are wine related.
What? Don't give away my secret.
Anyway, holidays are around the corner. I am a firm believer in the idea that if you really dress up your holiday table and accessorize properly, you can get away with cheaper wine.
We don't call it cheap. We call it less expensive.
More economical wine. You know, the one thing that I think everybody ought to own, and this has come up in conversations over the past couple of weeks more than two or three times, and the one thing everybody should own is a decanter.
Right.
But let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because there are some amazing boxed wines out there now.
Yes.
Have you tried them?
I definitely have.
You know, you go into a good wine store and you'll see, probably a dozen different brands that are really terrific. And the thing of it is that I still won't admit that I'm pouring boxed wine, but I will like fill a decanter and put it out on the table. And the truth of the matter is that if you're having people over for Thanksgiving or a holiday dinner, it gets very expensive, you know, pour from individual bottles.
It does, especially if you have quite a few people over.
So decanters are where it's at for me. And as a matter of fact, I think that when somebody sees wine in a decanter, Matt, they think it's even better than out of the bottle.
It's a perception.
Yeah, and it's a good way to get around screw caps, too.
You don't like those screw caps.
No, I don't. I don't. And the fact of the matter is that I've been wine tasting constantly for the past couple of weeks. I mean, really have gone to a lot of places. And everywhere I go, it's like 50% screw caps now.
Really?
That's where the phrase, what is this world coming to, came from.
So you're definitely a fan of screw caps.
You know what? The truth is, I'm caving.
Really?
I'm caving. And the other thing is that because I take so many wine-related trips, sometimes you want to have a bottle of wine in your hotel room. That screw cap's not so bad. You know, you can get to it fast and you don't have to look for a corkscrew. But of course, as you've said, I should have a corkscrew every place.
You just never know when you're going to need it.
Well, you need to combine a corkscrew with something that you would normally take, you know, on a trip. Like you have a corkscrew at the end of your toothbrush. Seriously. Then you can actually use it to pick your teeth as well.
Don't they have that in a Swiss Army knife?
Well, they don't have a toothbrush in the Swiss Army knife.
Okay, just the floss, I think.
Yeah, the Swiss don't brush their teeth, apparently. No, that's not true. They've got very nice pearly whites. What do you have for the holidays?
Well, some of the big items that, you know, we're talking about atmosphere are our wine bottle candelabras. We have quite a few different styles, and what these are is after you finish the bottle of wine, we have these really beautiful candelabras that fit on the top of the bottle of wine just like a stopper would, and they come with tea lights. So you're all set. You just need to, I would weight the bottle down with either sand or water, and you put the candelabra in, light them up.
So how many candles on the biggest one?
Five.
Yeah.
So it's really nice, and they come in a few different types of finishes and quite a few different designs. So it will fit any decor that you're having for your holidays
How many different styles you got?
I think that there's 12 now.
Really?
Yeah, quite a few. We're selling a lot of candles. And another item are our mosaic tea light bottle stoppers. And again, this is a candle. And what this is it's just like a stopper, but on the top, it is a mosaic-colored glass that has a votive inside it. And say you have the lights dimmed or they're off, and the shimmering colors of the glass just pop through, and the atmosphere is amazing that they create.
I have to tell you, I don't have one of those.
They're brand new.
Oh, really?
Brand spanking new.
Where would you find it on the website?
You would find them under Mosaic Tea Light bottle stoppers, probably.
Can you do a search like that?
Can, yeah.
Okay, so you go to epicstyle.com and you can search for it there. Do you have your holiday collections out yet?
They are out. Not everything is available, but most of the items are.
And how do you find that?
You can find them under our holiday selections on epicstyle.com.
And you got everything. Napkin rings, cheese plates. Tell me everything that's in the collection.
So many different things. We have napkins. We have dinner napkins, beverage napkins, guest towels, which are great. We have aprons now and wood cutting boards, glass cheese cutting boards. I mean, the gamut of different types of items that will work great for the holidays and every day, actually.
You know what? You are the Sultan of Style, Matt.
That's what you keep saying.
No, I just made that up today. That's the first time I've used that.
I think you've used it many times before.
You know what? Somebody the other day called me the Brigadier of Broadcasting.
Really?
I like that.
I like that, too.
I'm adopting that. And then he came back with the Emir of the Ear.
I think I like the other one better.
All right. Well, Matt, okay. So if you want to dress up your table, if you want to create atmosphere that will allow you to pour a cheaper wine and get away with it because it'll just taste better because you had the forethought to accessorize, you go to epicstyle.com.
Yes, you do.
That's it. You'll find it there.
You will definitely find it there.
You can also go to grapeencounters.com, and there's a link there if you don't remember epicstyle.com. But how could you not remember epicstyle.com? That's all we ever talk about.
I think you talk about a few other things.
Well, I know, but we have a passion.
Well, we're just trying to help the experience for the wine drinker.
And you have certainly succeeded in that. Matt, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And next trip, you're coming.
I hope so.
You have no time, do you?
None.
All right. That is a problem. Well, let's at least get together and have a bottle of wine.
Sounds good.
All right.